I want to turn to the scriptures once again, to the first book of Samuel and to the 22nd chapter, 1 Samuel and chapter 22. We'll read from verse 16 and we're going to read a little bit into the 23rd chapter as well. Verse 16. And the king said, "Thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house." And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, "Turn and slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, because they knew when he fled, and did not show it to me." But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priests of the Lord. And the king said to Doeg, "Turn thou and fall upon the priests." And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priests, and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. And Nob, the city of the priests, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and sucklings, and oxen and asses and sheep, with the edge of the sword. And one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priests. And David said unto Abiathar, "I knew it, that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard." Then they told David, saying, "Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors." Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and smite these Philistines?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah." And David's men said unto him, "Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" Then David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand." So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And it came to pass, when Abiathar the son of Ahimelech fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. And Saul said, "God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars." And Saul called all the people together to war, to go down to Keilah, to besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him, and he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring hither the ephod." And then said David, "O Lord God of Israel, thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant." And the Lord said, "He will come down." Then said David, "Will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul?" And the Lord said, "They will deliver thee up." Then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah, and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbare to go forth. And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds, and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. Amen. We'll leave the reading just there. We give thanks to the Lord for his word. Let's bow our heads again in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we look at the scriptures again today, we pray that thou would speak unto us, teach us thy way, Lord, that we might understand the workings of the world, the workings of the wicked one, and the destructions which he seeketh toward the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, our Saviour, is victorious and has overcome the world, and indeed has overcome the devil also, has bound him. We thank thee, our Father, that the deliverance is complete and full, And Lord, that the day cometh when the Lord Jesus Christ shall come again and shall be enthroned. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst bless us as we seek to serve thee. We ask, Lord, that thou wouldst be with us as we consider the scriptures together now. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst be honored in our thoughts and meditations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we were thinking last time about the work of Saul, this terrible destruction which came upon the priests at Nob, and indeed where they came to Saul himself. Saul had issued forth a decree that they should come to where he was, and they came. But we see there also that the footmen of Saul refused to slay the priests of the Lord. They had, at least, even though they were seeking to slay David, at least they had that honour that they would not slay the priests of God. Saul, however, had not such honour. It's an interesting thing to note that when he was told to go forth and slay the enemies of the Lord, that he refused to do so, and that he left the king of the Lord's enemies alive, and Samuel had to turn his sword upon him to slay him. But when it comes to the priest of the Lord, he has no such compunction, and he is ready just to slay them, and even to allow Doeg to go on to the city and to slay the women, the children, the sucklings, the oxen, the asses, the sheep, and with the edge of the sword. So he has no compunction there, not even the sheep and the asses and the oxen, which last time when he fought he had kept alive that he might make offerings to the Lord. He doesn't even do that. And these are the creatures which belong to the priests, which were bred for offerings before the Lord. Even those things were not to be kept. Saul's heart was darkened. Saul's heart was hardened. Saul had become the enemy of God and the enemy of the king whom the Lord had anointed. And it's an interesting thing to recognize him as the enemy of God. So we come here then to consider these words of the one who escaped from among the sons of Ahimelech. It is the son of Ahitub. His name is Abiathar, and he flees to David in verse 20. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priests. And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it. That day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Abide thou with me. Fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life. But with me thou shalt be in safeguard. So I want to consider with you these words, first of all, in the subject really of the community of the Lord, that the Lord has his people and he gathers them together, and he's gathering them together now under David. David is the anointed king, but David is something more than that, isn't he? David becomes a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that David is often mentioned when we come to the New Testament, and people cry out to the Lord Jesus, and they say to the Lord Jesus, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me, and like phrases which come forth from their lips. And so here we have this king who is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in so many different ways. Not obviously perfect, otherwise he would be Christ himself. He is not a perfect type, but no type is absolutely perfect. But here there are many things which we can draw parallels to, and we can find something of interest concerning the Lord Jesus. So this is the community of the Lord, which the Lord is gathering around David as the king. And although David has not been formally accepted as king over Israel at this time, nevertheless, he is the Lord's anointed king, and Saul has been rejected. So I want to consider this under three heads here this morning. First of all, David's inclusiveness. Secondly, David's invitation. And thirdly, David's increase. David's inclusiveness. Now the reason I call it David's inclusiveness is because in verse 22 we read these words. From verse 22, and David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. It's an interesting phrase because the Hebrew doesn't actually say that. I think that when the translators came to this particular verse, perhaps their heads were ahead of their translating ability. Because it can mean that, certainly, and it is one of the conclusions that we would draw from the words that are here. But I wonder if there was something of an explanation rather than a translation in these words. The word death does not appear in the Hebrew at all. There is no death which is mentioned. And the word occasioned is the only time that it's translated this way. Normally, that word is translated to compass or encompass. So it means to camp round about or to walk round about. It's used when the children of Israel come into the land of Israel and they are told of the Lord to march around the walls of Jericho, to compass the walls of Jericho. The word is used there. So it means to go round about. And so when I speak about David's inclusiveness, I want to just say this, that we might translate these words, and David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, he would surely tell Saul, I have embraced all the persons of thy father's house. I have embraced all the persons of thy father's house. That is, I have encircled them. I have brought them in. I am round about them. And that can mean two things. Of course, first of all, that he is willing to look after all of the persons of Abiathar's father's house. But also, we see in verse 23, and we see here how this fits together, abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. So he is indeed embracing all the persons of Abiathar's father's house, in the fact that there is only Abiathar left, and he says, just come in with me. How do we come across these words then, that they're translated here, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house? Well, that is explained also in that 23rd verse, where David says, he that seeketh my life, seeketh thy life. He is saying, in effect, when I embraced, when I brought your father's house into my problems, I brought death upon them. I gathered them in with me. And as soon as I had done that, they were in danger. And I think that perhaps the translators here have that in mind as he's translating, and he is bringing forth that thought that it is because of David that the house of Abiathar is now dead, apart from Abiathar himself. So it makes sense here in both ways. And the translation here is not a forced translation in the fact that the word death is not there. I suppose we could say that. But still, what is being said here is true. That it was because David had gone to Abiathar and he had brought him into this conflict. He had drawn him into something which Abiathar was completely unaware of before this time. We looked at this last Lord's Day when we saw those words when Saul came to him and he says to Abiathar in Ahimelech in verse 13, why have ye conspired against me? And Ahimelech answered the king in verse 14, said, and who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honourable in thine house? Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me. Let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of my father, for thy servant knew nothing of all this, less or more. And so he is basically saying, well, I didn't know there was any problem. It wasn't that I was conspiring with David against you. I didn't know that David was against you. I didn't help him to fight against you. And if I gave him anything, it was because I accepted him as one of your servants, and a dearest servant at that. One who has fought your battles, one who has stood at your side, one who has never spoken about a hard word against you. Who else? Who stands like David as a friend of Saul? And so basically he is saying there that I didn't know anything about this. But David knew about it, didn't he? And David, when he goes to Abiathar seeking food and seeking some weapon And he actually goes and seeks a weapon, doesn't he? He asks if they have any kind of a weapon. And Abiathar says, well, there's no weapons here apart from the sword of Goliath, which has been left here to be kept as a token of the victory of the Lord. That's the only weapon that we have. And David says, well, give me that. There's none like it. And so he has drawn Abiathar's house, Ahimelech's house, here into the battle without even their knowledge. They don't even know. They don't realize this. And so he has indeed occasioned the death of Abiathar's father's house. So these things are true. There is no falsehood to be seen here. But the fact is that we can see something more. And that is that David has embraced these people. They are with him now, and that he bears a responsibility for them. And he recognizes that responsibility. And he says to Abiathar then, he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. Now there's something to be said here then about the Lord Jesus Christ also. And that is, when the Lord touches a heart of a man or a woman, that person is drawn into the battle. One way or another. It is a fact that as soon as someone hears the gospel, they are drawn into the battle one way or another. They will either become the enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ, or they will become a child of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will either be slain and die, or they will stand with Christ. The words which come to my mind and came to my mind as I was preparing this and thinking about David's heavy responsibility was a responsibility which also fell upon the Apostle Paul. You turn over to 2 Corinthians and to the second chapter, 2 Corinthians and chapter 2. We find that Paul bears a similar weight of responsibility upon his heart. David has brought Ahimelech's house into the battle, unknown to Ahimelech. And Paul also, as he goes out and he preaches the gospel to the heathen, brings them into the battle, very often unknown to the people. In fact, always unknown when they hear the gospel. But look at these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savour of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are the savour of death unto death, to the other the savour of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? He bears this responsibility upon himself, that wherever he goes and preaches the gospel, there is salvation to be had by those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved. But there is destruction also, with knowledge, to those who have heard the gospel and who have rejected it and who have hardened their hearts. This is a heavy burden to bear. Wherever the gospel is preached, wherever it is known, there is an added guilt to those who have heard the gospel and who have hardened their hearts and rejected it. And this is a burden, of course, which David has upon his own heart here. As he has gone and brought in the house of Ahimelech and occasioned their death, they weren't to know that. And David, in fact, wasn't even preaching the gospel, was he? Because when he came, he didn't even tell the truth to Ahimelech. It wasn't as though he was telling the truth to Ahimelech. He says that he equivocates, really, in verse 2 of chapter 21. The king hath commanded me a business. Well, the king had not commanded him a business, apart from the fact that he was going to die. And he saith unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Well, it wasn't true. So, on the basis of a lie, he had brought them in. And David's responsibility for that was a greater responsibility than the Apostle Paul, because the Apostle Paul at least preached the truth. And in fact goes into that very fact and says that they have not preached deceitfully, but that they have preached the word as God had given it to them. Again, if you look at 2 Corinthians and chapter 2 It goes on to say, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. He speaks sincerely, he speaks the truth. He doesn't twist the truth. He just puts it out there. But that brings you into the battle. That brings you into danger. That brings you immediately into a situation where the devil would seek to destroy you, when the enemies of God are against you. And there are many who have had exactly this, even those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's give the benefit of the doubt here to Ahimelech and to his house, that they were indeed the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can say that even if they were the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, to God they are absent from the body and present with the Lord. Absent from the body, present of the Lord, with the Lord. The Lord has called them home at that point. To Saul, he's a wicked man. To this Doeg, he's a wicked man. To those who turn and fall upon the priests of God, they are in wickedness. But to God, he has called his beloved home into his presence, and they receive the blessing and the glory of the Lord in his presence. But as soon as we are brought into this, the devil will be after you. We often say to people, if a person comes and they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if they come and we sit down with them and they say, I want to be a Christian, I want to be saved, and we lead them through the scriptures and we say to them, then just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, pray, call upon the name of the Lord. And if you do that, then the Lord will hear you and answer prayer. But beware of this, that there will come an attack. And as soon as you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the flesh will be pressing against you. And you need to be ready. You need to be praying. You need to be reading the scriptures. You need the word of God. You need fellowship with God's people. You need to be ready for the attack, for it will surely come. We know that it comes against us. I certainly know as a preacher, after preaching, that's the time when we feel down. That's the time when we feel empty. That's the time when we need to go and to pray. We see in the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever he preached, whenever he did any great work, that he went away into the wilderness to pray. He sought the Lord. That's the time of temptation. We see it as he comes up out of the waters of baptism. The Spirit of God has come down upon him, as we read this morning concerning John's testimony. And after that, we find that he is taken immediately into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for 40 days. That's the way it is. David has brought them in to this situation, and now the devil seeks to destroy, and he seeks to go after them. And certainly the enemies of God will seek to go after us, both those who are physical and those that are spiritual. But then David says to Abiathar here, abide thou with me. Fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. And does not the Lord Jesus Christ say a similar thing to us? This is David's hearty reciprocation, is what I have termed it from my own notes, and perhaps if you're taking notes. But here he is ready to give his protection to Abiathar. And the Lord Jesus Christ says to us, when we trust in the Lord, stay with me. Cleave to me, and you will be in safeguard. Because Christ is the greater David. And here Abiathar has escaped. He is the only one who is alive. He has come to David, and David says, well, stay with me. I have embraced you. I will embrace you. I will look after you and keep you. And indeed, David does do so to the end of his days. It is Abiathar, in fact, who forsakes David at the end of David's days, and seeks to put one of David's sons upon the throne of the kingdom, and not Solomon, whom David had said must succeed him. And then Zadok the priest becomes the new high priest at that point. But we know that the Lord Jesus Christ says, abide with me. He that seeketh my life seeketh your life. And isn't that true? Didn't the Lord Jesus say to his disciples, they have not hated you, they have hated me. And God has said the same thing to Samuel in this very book. They do not hate you. They have not rejected you. They have rejected me.
And the point is, of course, as soon as we are connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, then all the powers of hell are against us. And we need to stay close to Christ. And that's the burden of the message this morning. We need to be close to Christ. We need to be in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We come together into a fellowship such as this. But let not the fellowship be what we are seeking. Let it not be an end in itself. Just coming together to meet with God's people. Just coming in to listen to the preaching of the word. Let not that be an end in itself. That is a means to an end. The end is that we should love the Lord Jesus Christ with all our hearts. That we should learn of him. That we should sanctify ourselves. And that we should have full fellowship with him. Abide thou with me. Fear not. For he that seeketh my life, seeketh thy life. But with me thou shalt be in safeguard. Oh, the wicked seek the destruction of the kingdom of God. Not because we are in it, but because it's God's. Because they are the enemies of God. And Saul, as the enemy of God, seeks to destroy the Lord's priests at this time. And it's an interesting thing to note also that he continues to use the Lord's name. He continues to put forward that he is the Lord's. It's not true. How can anyone who is the Lord seek to destroy the Lord's people? But we find here that when David has gone down to Keilah, that Saul had heard about it, and he said that God has delivered David into my hand. He has delivered David into my hand. So he is now saying that he is God. He is God's. Of course, it could be because the word there, I think, is the word Elohim, which is a plural, which is used of the Lord all the time. But it could be that he is using it in a plural form and saying the gods have delivered David into my hand. But I don't think so, because in verse 21 of chapter 23, it says there to the people of Ziph on this occasion. In verse 21 it says, Paul said, and Saul said, blessed be ye of Jehovah, for ye have had compassion on me. So he's using the Lord's name. Not all the enemies of God come out as the enemies of God. We need to be careful of all the ways that the devil would seek to deceive. Remember, the devil, as we read in 2 Corinthians, transforms himself as the angel of light. And it's no surprise then, Paul says, that the ministers of unrighteousness put themselves forth as the ministers of righteousness. We need to test everything by the word. We need to be walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we have David's reciprocation then, and we can say perhaps from John 1 verse 12, as many as received him of the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And David is saying something similar, not the power to become the sons of God, but he is saying, stay with me, and you'll be a part of my people. You will be embraced by me, and you'll be embraced by us, and you will be with us. And we'll walk together. So David's invitation then is that he should come with him and he would be in safeguard. But we see something here also, and that is David's new confidence. David's new confidence. Now, up until this time, as we've been studying 1 Samuel, we've seen David fleeing here and fleeing there and being afraid. And even when he was with Samuel, and we made a point of this at the time, and Saul sent men to take his life, and they fell, and they, some distance away from where Samuel and David were, began to prophesy. And Saul goes himself, and he also, some distance away, falls and begins to prophesy. And nobody can come near to David. David and Samuel. Even then, David flees from Samuel and takes his own path and tries to work it out for himself and gets himself into even more problems and troubles. But we saw that there was a turnaround in David's life. It was at the gates of Gath when Achish refused to let him in. he's referred to also as Ahimelech, Achish. Achish was his name. Ahimelech means father king. And so he was also the king in that form. But we see that David now is saying, you will be in safeguard if you are with me. He has a new confidence. He is trusting now in the Lord. And we see it immediately after in chapter 23. For the words come to him that there is the Philistines fighting against Keilah. And what does he do? Immediately in verse 2, therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? David inquired of the Lord. That's where we need to be. That's where we need to be. Abide with me. The Lord Jesus says, abide with me. Abide in me. In John 15. Abide in the vine. Stay in me. And David now, immediately, he hears this. It comes up in him, his responsibility towards his nation, towards his people. But he goes to the Lord. He doesn't just say, well, we're going to go and fight. But he says, Lord, should we go and fight? Is this the right thing? Perhaps he is even saying to himself, is this the truth? Because he knows that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him, verse 9. And that secret practice can be an underhand practice. Is something actually happening here? Should I go down or should I not? But the point is that he is immediately turning to the Lord. We need to abide with the Lord. He needs to be our first port of call. We need to call upon the name of the Lord in all situations. And the foundation of this confidence was indeed, when we looked at this turnaround, when he came to Achish in chapter 21. There we see in verse 10, and David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath, and it was there that the king of Gath drove him away. And we see in Psalm 34, which is ascribed to a remembrance of those things, not necessarily written at the time, but David certainly wrote, and it was about this that he wrote. And we see there in Psalm 34, and in the title of it, a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Ahimelech, or the father king, who drove him away, and he departed. And Achish, Ahimelech, drives him away. And it's there that suddenly, after turning to his own devices, even to the fact of pretending to be mad and letting the spittle run down upon his beard until Kish drives him away, that he comes to the cave of Adullam. And there all things begin to turn. He begins to trust in the Lord. The Lord had delivered him. The Lord had delivered him. The foundation of his new confidence is he begins to look back. And we see then this meditation, the meditation of the psalm, many other psalms as well, as he sees that the Lord is his defense. And we saw this in the prayer meeting in Psalm 18, that the Lord was his defense, his strong tower. The earthworks, all of those things which the Lord is described there, as being the defense of David. And he says, if you stay with me, then you will be in safeguard. Why? Because you'll be with me. And because the Lord is with me. This new confidence that David has, and this realization that God is with him, that he's not going to die, that God will preserve him. And the more confidence he has, the more amazing are the ways that the Lord preserves him. We'll come to see that in the next chapter, or in chapter 23. We'll see how that the Lord just keeps Saul away. Keeps him away. David, whatever David does, he is always in safety. The Lord is his defense. The Lord is his buckler. The Lord is his strong tower. The Lord gives him ways of escape. The Lord is always around him. So many of the Psalms reflect that same thing, that God has always been with him. And we come then to David's increase. David's increase. Well, we have seen that when David fled, that he went to the cave of Adullam in chapter 22, in the first verse. And then we see that his brethren, all his father's house, come to him. And we find then in verse 5 that the prophet Gad comes to him, tells him not to abide in the hold in Moab. And now we find that Ahimelech comes to him, and now he has a prophet with him, which is Gad, and a priest, which is Ahimelech, and all of these are being gathered, and an army. And indeed, we looked at the time at how great some of the soldiers were that were with him at that time from his own household. They have all come around him. So David is increased in this way. We find that here we have this wonderful secret concerning David and concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. That here we have that human tripart gathering of people. We have David, who is the king, Gad, who is the prophet, and Ahimelech, who is the priest. A prophet, priest, and king. And they are together, and they are working together. And we see this fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only one in the scripture who is prophet, priest, and king. The Lord Jesus Christ is the greater David. We turn to the Lord Jesus, and we find some who have sought to be something more than they ought to have been. Remember Uzziah, how that he was a king, and he sought to be also a priest, and went into the house of God, and he was afflicted for it. He was given leprosy because he sought to put forth his hand to make offerings in the house of the Lord. But Jesus is the prophet, priest, and king. We don't need all three. All we need is Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ says to us, each one who have been touched by the gospel, abide thou with me. Fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. We know that David finally overcame all of the problems that were set before him, and he was anointed and set upon the throne, and that the people turned even from the following of Saul to following David. And that was the beginning of the peace of the kingdom, which was passed on then to Solomon at the end of David's life. But it was David who effected all of those things. And Jesus Christ will effect all of those things. And when he comes again, we will see him in all his glory. So the exhortation then this morning really is that the Lord Jesus Christ has embraced us. He has brought us in. Whether you are saved here this morning or not, he has brought you into the battle. There are those who are the enemies who will seek to destroy your soul. But Jesus says, believe on me, trust in me, stay with me. And Ahimelech had to do that, didn't he? He had to trust David. He didn't then flee, because we find there in verse 6, and it came to pass when Abiathar the son of Ahimelech fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. He trusts in David. He stays there with him. And he's there right to the end of David's life. And we're trusting in Christ. We're trusting in him. The enemies of Jesus Christ seek to destroy souls. But with Christ, you will be in safeguard. May the Lord bless us as we trust in that way.